Our Father, we thank you for this glad hour we can spend reading your word. We pray that you will uplift our hearts to think about what it means to serve you. We think of Bethel and the building project coming up. We think of others, other jobs as well to be done in India, in Kenya, in Myanmar. So many challenges. Help us to find the faith and the strength to take all of this on. We pray that you will help us always to say, give me this mountain. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Just to say a little word before we conclude our Joshua studies, okay? And the reality is, did Caleb on his own conquer Mount Hebron? The answer is no. He had a backing of the whole nation of Israel. You cannot have one person defeat a whole colony of giants. That's impossible. Right? So did the others help? Absolutely. Right? So the eastern tribes sent in 40,000 troops to help. All the other tribes came in, and there were hundreds of thousands of them. But they were only able to because he overcame their fear. Caleb did not take Hebron on his own with a slingshot. So this is something that you want to be sure of. The whole conquest is about Israel. It's just that Caleb made it very, very personal. But he stayed on. After that, you take a look. If he were to go in, look, live in the homes of the giants, he cannot open the door. It's so tall. Right? All the beds will be so long. I mean, he cannot use it. The whole place has to be downsized, obviously. So it's a lot of help, a lot of work to be done. Did he do it on his own? The answer is no. Just to let you know that. Read Joshua, you'll find it out. Okay, now today we can look at Psalm 128. And this has one particular theme. And that's something that we want to think about very, very much. And the one theme is found in verse 1. One is called the fear of the Lord. Now, this is something that is a lot of people, we take for granted, we all fear the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Now watch this very practical things here. Who walk in his ways. So if you say, I fear the Lord, but I don't walk in his ways, sorry, you're not doing that. There's no fear of the Lord. Right? The fear of the Lord, the reality of the fear of the Lord is only seen in real life. Right? Verbal things won't help because they don't tell you anything very much at all. Right? What is the fear of the Lord? And this goes all the way back to Deuteronomy. And let's take a look at this very carefully. Right? And so as we look at Deuteronomy, a summary verse is found in chapter 10. Right? And so we read, and this is important for us to understand, 10 and 12. The summary verse. Right? And so, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Right? If you want to find a summary statement for the whole book of Deuteronomy, it will be 10-12. Right? This is very important summary words, and this tells us a lot. What does it say? Right? One, what does the Lord require of you? This is not expectation. This is not hope you will be. This is requirement. Right? Now, this is important. A lot of us think that fear the Lord is a matter of choice. What I choose to fear the Lord is not. It's a requirement. Right? So when we talk about requirement, you are supposed to meet this requirement. Right? One, to fear the Lord, your God, to walk in all his ways. This is Psalm 128, 1. Exactly. To fear the Lord, to walk in all his ways. So if we are not doing that, then we are not. Now, this is important. A lot of us, and we sometimes fail to understand what this is all about. How do we actually practice the fear of the Lord? And this is what, one, to reverence him, to give him the highest respect and regard, and as we should. And when we fail to give that kind of regard and respect, what do we have? I mean, we all understand respect, and from children, we learn to respect teachers, we learn to respect principals, we learn to respect, people in the armed forces or in the police force or whatever. But bit by bit, the fear goes with time. Then there's no regard. And then watch, slowly, bit by bit, the whole society is affected. It starts with this fear of the Lord being gone. Right? That's gone. Where is the fear of the Lord today? In so-called Christian countries. It's not there. You can have beautiful buildings. You can have big cathedrals. You can have whatever you want. But if the fear of the Lord is not there, you've got nothing. The requirement, the first requirement is gone. And this has become the bane of all churches all over the world. There is just simply no fear of the Lord. Right? In individual Christian lives, the same problem. No fear of the Lord. We just don't practice it. So we have to, how do I practice it? One, I know His ways, I walk in them. That's what it is. And something that we need to look at very carefully. Okay, now, the second part of it, right? To one part, fear. Two, walk. Three, and this is important, to love Him. Right? You know, fear doesn't mean there is no love. I think that's important. That fear of the Lord must be there. That love must also be there. And it's a very difficult, very delicate balance. How do I fear and how do I love at the same time? That's a very difficult thing. Many people fear but cannot love. Many people say they love the Lord but they don't fear Him. How does that work? You can't separate the thing. You have to balance them all. Well, this is a basic. What does the Lord require of you? One, fear the Lord. Two, walk in His ways. Three, love Him. Four, serve Him with all. This is very important, right? To serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep His commandments. And this is very important, right? So if we take a look at all of these things combined together, we ask ourselves, what does it mean to do that? And this is where we often miss out. Right? We have one, two, three, four things that we ask or check. Do I fear Him? Do I really walk in His ways? Three, do I really love Him? Four, do I really serve Him? And if we don't know how to put them all together, reality is we are not. And it's a very difficult thing to balance. Believe me, it's really very challenging to look at. Right? But here is how it works. Now, there are very few people who will be able to make this. And whatever you say that your life will be there, it will be challenged and it will be tested to see whether that is in fact true. Let's look at the book of Job. And you'll see this as a person who was greatly honored in more ways than one. All right. So there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now watch this very carefully. He was blameless his life. He was upright. And he was one who feared God, there we go, and shunned evil. This was his life. Now, it's very hard to be blameless, right? And together, blamelessness and uprightness will go together. But right in the center of it all was his fear of God. Right? And then, he shunned evil. So, we read, this man... It was a very large household. This man has the greatest of all the people of the East. Now, that's quite an amazing statement. Right? So he had a lot of these things here. 7 sons and 3 daughters. 10 children, all born to him. Right? Possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, referring to his servants. Right? Now, if you were to measure this in today's terms, it may not seem like very much. But in those days where you don't have banks and your wealth is measured, you want to see a poor man. A poor man has got no camel, no nothing. He's got nothing. You walk. The moment you walk, you realize you're not rich. Right? That's how the Lord Jesus and the disciples all walk. Everywhere they went, they walk. That's it. No funds available. Okay, now. Then we look at it here, we're looking at 7,000 sheep. And they multiply, by the way, 7,000, if you start multiplying them, soon it will be thousands more. Right? So that's 7,000, and then 3,000 camels. On average, a good camel today can cost over $10,000 US today. Right? Now there are people who, I read of one person who gave up her job in the US and became a special hairdresser for camels. Her charges, one camel wash, 1,500. you know, at a long waiting list from all the emirs to get her to her thing. She is just an amazing lady. She just, and so she said, I have got a long list of people I need to meet up with. So no end to it. Once you know how to groom camels, so you just imagine how much work can be generated. There have been 3,000 camels. Most of us can't stand the smell of a camel. The moment a camel enters the room, we can smell it from here. I mean, they are not nice smelling animals in any way, right? And then 500 yoke of oxen. Elisha had two, you know, we had 12 yoke of oxen. It's a lot of oxen. This one is hundreds more, right? And a very large household. And look at it all. This was a person who feared the Lord. How did he express it? By his life. Upright, blameless, feared God, shunned evil. This is Psalm 128:1. This is Deuteronomy 10:12. Right? So this is something, I mean, and a lot of us don't really look into this. We all look at the most basic of things. Am I going to church? Am I living a good life? Do I have enough money? Am I healthy? And that's about it. If our children are doing well, okay, great. They're all happy and I'm happy. It's not the same as fearing God. Because fearing God means your focus is on God. Not you, not your family, not your children, just God. That's a big focus. And most of us don't live consciously about God. How should I live today? I mean, if nothing else, I'm very, very conscious of my mortality. You know, if I ask myself, let's look at 5 years. Will I survive 5 years? I don't know. I hope to make it, this is 53. Hopefully, I will make it to the 60th. That's 7 years more. Will I be there? I cannot tell you. Am I certain? I don't know. I mean, but you know what? My focus is not life or not death. My focus is I want to keep focus. I want to practice the fear of the Lord. Right? So one, Deuteronomy 10:12. This is a requirement. You don't have a choice. You want to talk about serving the Lord, teaching the Lord's word, you don't have a choice. This is required. Right? Now, this is how it works. Okay, then we take a look at all the things here. Okay. What happens? These are the blessings. Right? Now, this is very important. Look at the blessings that we must not take for granted. Right? When you eat the labor of your hands, you're not eating the labor of other people's hands. You work for it. Right? Now, this is very important. When I went to NUH, they asked me to do a 365 app. I didn't know what that was. And so they said, oh, every 700 points, you get one free Mr. Bean thing here. 700 points, you know what it means? They give 10 points a day, so I need to fulfill. But 70 days times 10, 700 points, to win one cup of soya bean, the labor of my hands, of my feet. You have no idea how wonderfully tasty it is. With or without sugar. This is the labor of your hand. So I accumulated another 1,000 already. So, you know, that's hard labor, you know. This is really hard labor in order to accumulate 10 things here. And if you buy some healthy thing, you get another 5 points. I frankly don't know any of these things here until I had to learn this thing, you know. It's amazing. This is a labor on your head. So every time I drink it, you know, so far about 2 or 3 times already, and you realize, wow, this is a labor of my feet. And you enjoy it. Of course, no sugar. Well, that's how it works. Okay, labor of your heads. And you shall be happy. This is important. You shall be happy. And I ask myself, okay, if I face death, am I still happy? And the answer is yes. If I face all these challenges every day, balance all of them, the titration, medicine, balance here, all the time, going to the hospital until they know me by name. Also, the receptionist, the people, they're there, how are you? And, you know, sort of everyone is, we know all, very well now. That's how it works. And, you know, I just want to give them a bit of happiness. So one day, one lady came and poked and says, And then he says, sorry, didn't get through. Can we try another spot? Two spots. And she said, I'm so sorry. You had to get two shots today. I said, it's all right, don't worry, be happy. Seriously, are you going to blame the person? No, don't. They have their off days too. There are days when they, some days, three times, you know. And you say, I had a pin cushion, go ahead. But literally, you just want to practice being happy. This is what it means to be happy. I mean, when you go through rough times, that's when you really look at it and you learn how to be happy. Right? The third one, third blessing, right? It shall be well with you. Now, we often think, but yet not well with you. Not true. It's, I am far better off than a lot of people. Right? I mean, seriously. I am very, very much more conscious of the fact that I am at my age. And I can still walk around. I don't have to have a walker. I don't have to a walking stick. You know, I can still, taste things. I can see things. I can hear things. Although a bit diminishing everything. Right? Cannot hear so well. Cannot see so well. Cannot walk so well. Cannot eat so well. But can I still say it's all well with me? Yes. Because I look at a person who just passed on. It's well with me. Look at other people who are suffering like anything and they have no means of help from anyone. The answer is, it is well. And I'd like to say, it is well with my soul. And it's true, it is well. So let's learn how to be happy. Rather than every little make you unhappy, I don't like this, I don't like, why? To me, I'm just happy about everything. Right? I've seen people with have no hair. Mine, because of the cyclosporine, even more. my barber said, well, how come your hair so much? I said, why are you grumbling about? At least I got hair. He said, yeah, I know. He said, yeah, it's a bit of a challenge. He said, well, very, very tough. Very fast it will grow. Now, every 3 weeks, it's already must go and cut again. And extra hair too. Oh. So you see my eyelashes, how long they are. These are all because of the eye drops. You see, the IOP has gone up further, so I need more eye drops. And the eye drop makes the tear curl, you know. When you think about this. So every time I go to do the IOP, the check, they say, hey, how come your eyelash touch the lenses already? What can I say? You see, it's all the medicine that you give to me, and then this is what happens, and then, so I have eyelashes longer than other people. You know, that's what it is. Not that men are very conscious of these things here, but women are, and I'm whatever it is. Okay, and then it shall be well with you. True. With wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Now, this is where you start learning to appreciate afresh, right? That you have the wife there as a fruitful vine. She had an extra kidney. Now she's minus one. You know, I mean, you just think in terms of, we just take for granted. We take for granted until death comes, and then we realize, too late, it's all over. So, Lewa, keep on speaking at home. This lesson is for your husband to appreciate all over again. Seriously, when you can no longer speak, then you begin to realize it's gone. When you are too ill, when you are finally, the day comes and it's all over, then you regret, I miss. And this is the reality, right? You see my little boy, I call my little boy Sugar. You know, whenever I go away, he knows roughly when I'm going away, and he will sit on my luggage box, the bag, and all that. Last night, he just refuses to go out of my room. He just wants to sit there, and he just wants to be there. And he just put his head down now, and he just wants to be there. You know, I miss him. I mean, to me, it's all part of the well-being. It's all part of the blessings that God has given. So you learn to appreciate every single thing around you. The air you breathe, your lungs can function, and everything else, I think that's something that I keep on thinking about, right? And your children, like olive plants all around your table. Right? Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Right? So we may not have every single thing that is there, but the provision is there. The Lord will bless. So you, maybe you don't have all every single one, all right? But so you can tick off, okay, can I eat the labor of your hands? Food. Enjoy the food. Now I cannot take a lot of things, right? So sashimi, I have not touched sashimi for 4 months. It says, forget about it, no more. Okay, I have to switch off. Right? So red meat, cannot take. Okay, gone. What else? Right? What else can I take? All those fresh vegetables. I have not taken salad for 4 months too. Not allowed. Right? Anything that is uncooked, anything that is fresh, cannot. Right? So here we go. What else is there? So after a while, I'm reduced to just some greens and some cod fish. That's it. So then I say, oh, I also have fish and cod and fish and vegetables. And next day, it's vegetables and fish. Right? So I discovered to my horror that pork is also considered red meat. What? I discovered so many things along the way. And then he said, cannot. Can I still be happy? Happier. Why? At least the kidneys got a chance to now survive, because I was the one who caused the problem. The new one I had to take better care of. See, you learn how to appreciate things and you learn how to be happier. Right? So I have lost quite a bit of weight and I hope to keep that off completely. And it's something that is just a very, very special thing here. I was just thinking, you know, I'm going to get... I got to get some new pens because the one all coming off, I had to keep on pulling it all the time. Not a very nice thing to do, keep on pulling pens. It's not like the Burmese people, the sarong come out. They always do that. Out of nowhere, they all take it out and put it back again. To me, it's a habit which is very real. I'm very afraid they will just suddenly forget something. and then it will be embarrassing for everybody. And it's very interesting. So one dear old lady at our church celebrating her 90s and all that. And she just got into her heart and said, you know what? We must give to all the pastors a gift. And she wanted a gift. He said, go and make pens. Make shirts. What an answer. Thus you'll be blessed. So now I can look forward to new pens. And it's all, I mean, you just think about it. You just think, you know, surely God doesn't care about things like that. What if he does? Seriously, what if he does? Right? Small little things. And that's an important thing. And I really, really would like to tell you how the Lord cares for you. It is all of these things that you learn to fear him, you learn to love him, you learn to serve him, and with great joy in the heart, because that's what it's all about. It's not the big things of life. It's sometimes it's the small things of life. And she's just grateful to be in her 90s, grateful to be alive, grateful to have friends in church, grateful to just have meaning in life. Right? Just that's it. She doesn't have a job or anything like that, but just absolutely committed. And she finds the greatest joy is in the house of the Lord. And there we go. That is the fear of the Lord. Right? So this is important for us that we see this. And the Lord bless you out of Zion. In September this month, the Jews celebrate a very special, they call it a new year. Right? But this new year is a very interesting one because they number it, 5787 is their number. In other words, this is how old Israel is in their history. Right? Nearly 6,000 years. And so this year's special will, because it will begin with the Sabbath, the Sabbath. And it will end on the Sabbath. So to them, this year, it's going to be a very, very special year. And so they celebrate New Year in a very special way too. They dip their candied apples into honey. That's a disaster for any diabetic person. But he says, what you eat and everything else, it's God's, this is your joy. This is God's pleasure given to you. You should celebrate. And they really mean it. And so they have been whole month in preparation for this celebration. And this is a very, very special month from September. And it's something to look forward to. Well, the same way, if we can understand what it means to fear the Lord, practice it. then the blessings will come. Right? Sometimes the blessings are there, we just don't know how to appreciate the blessings which are there. So if you take a look at all of these things here, right? The labor of your hands, be happy. Right? Literally, it shall be well with you, and it is well with you. So I have some problem. Other people have other problems. You know what? It's fine. Right? And then the family, and this is important. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Where is the blessing going to come from? And this is interesting to take note. The Lord bless you out of Zion. And this is what we're going to be focusing on from this Sunday onwards. We're going to talk about the doctrine of the sanctuary of God. It's a lot, something that a lot of people don't really understand, how the sanctuary idea was actually lost after Moses taught it. It was lost completely in the days of Joshua, in the book of the days of the Judges. For hundreds of years, for four centuries, the idea of the tabernacle was lost. David helped to bring it back. He was the one who said, this should not happen. It must come back. And so it was. It wasn't Samuel who brought it back. It was David. And so we're going to study this doctrine, or the doctrine of the sanctuary. And the Lord bless you out of Zion. It is as the Lord has blessed Zion that the blessings will come from Zion. It is as the Lord has blessed us, so our blessings that we have will go to other churches. And the blessings are just wonderful in more ways than one, right? The Lord bless you out of Zion. And may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. A constant prayer from everyone. Right? Peace to Jerusalem. Shalom all the time. This is their wish, their desire. And they want everyone to have that peace. Who wants that war? And this is something new, right? May you see your children's children. I think that happened, some 16 years ago when Betty was born. And to me, that this verse brought tears to my eyes, that the Lord has kept me alive and I could see my children's children. Yeah, this is one very, again, here it's all parts of the personal thing. In other words, life. Right? The Lord has already given me 70 years, 70 years and 10, that's average. If by reason of strength, 80 years, then I look forward to a few more years. Right? In 4 more years, I will reach 80. You know, I still want to be here to teach if I can. All right? But when the time comes when the two young men surpasses me, then they will take over completely. Then I will be very happy. I'll probably teach somewhere else. But the heart will always be there. You know, you want to learn. You want to keep learning all the time. And that's my commitment. I learn all the time. Every single day, I will put aside something new that I learn. Whether it's in Greek, or whether it's in Hebrew, or whether it's in history, I keep learning all the time. That's my commitment. I am a lifelong student. I cannot stop learning. So I've added to that a lot of stuff. And I read about xenotransplanting too. They use pigs, right? Pig's kidney. Wow. And then when put it into a person, and the person survived 9 months until the donor was there. Wow, that's amazing. So suddenly I'm interested in transplant of all kinds. So you learn a lot of these things here. So I learn about cyclosporine, I learn about the title, a lot of times. So what I don't know, I ask my AI helper, what is this all about? And then the person would explain, wow, even more technical things. So I dare not to ask the same person, ask another one to explain the other one. Otherwise, it look like a dummy. Right? But it's just so much to learn, so much to discover. And, you know, you just find joy, happiness in learning all the time. So thank you very, very much for being part of that wonderful group of students. I couldn't be happier than to be here with you. Thank you for the support that you have been giving all the way to the seniors, to Bethel, and to so many other things, to us personally as pastors and as teachers. Thank you. You have been a wonderful, wonderful class. Adds to the happiness that the Lord has already given. Well, let's pray together. Now, Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our teacher. We thank you for his example of being committed to teach the Word of God properly. Help us to have the same commitment. We pray for your blessings upon all who love you. We pray that we will be challenged to fulfill this requirement, to fear you, to love you, to serve you, to walk in all your ways always. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.